and thank you for listening to Call the Roll, a public affairs program produced by the Columbus City Council and aired here on Freedom FM. I'm your host, John Ivanic, Communications Director for the Columbus City Council. On this week's show, the Columbus City Council has placed four issues on the November ballot to make up the 2013 voted bond package. Voted bond sales help to pay for the infrastructure improvements and big-ticket items that keep Columbus on the move. They help to build police and fire stations, purchase refuse trucks and resurface roads, and rehab rec centers. Finance Committee Chair Priscilla R. Tyson recently held a public hearing to discuss the bond package. Also on hand, longtime City Auditor Hugh Dorian, who, as always, helped to provide context to the conversation.
On Monday, July 1st, of Columbus City Council will be voting to adopt the 2013 through 2018 Capital Improvements Plan, which will serve as the primary guide for the capital improvements over the next 5 years. City Council will be also voting to consider four resolutions which will place the 2013 voted bond package on the November 5th, 2013 ballot for consideration by our Columbus residents. Resolution number 135X, 2013, will ask voters to consider authorizing the city to issue $52,500,000 in bonds for safety and health. These funds will be used to support police and fire facilities, vehicles, and equipment. Some of the safety projects include $32.5 million would pay for fire vehicles. Another $15 million would be used for renovations at up to 17 police substations, 31 fire stations, and $5 million will pay for property and construction for new fire stations. Resolution number 136X-2013 will ask voters to consider authorizing the city to issue $123,910,000 in bonds for recreation and parks. These funds will be used to support capital improvements and renovations to our recreation centers, bike paths, pools, parks, playgrounds, and equipment. Some of the projects include improvements to the Glenwood, Thompson, Driving Park, Indian Mound Recreation Centers, and a renovation of the Franklin Park Shelter House. Also, recreational trails such as Scioto, Olentangy, Alum Creek, and Big Walnut Trails. The Olentangy Trail will be widened in three locations, and some money could be used for additional parkland acquisition. And I think before I move on, I'm going to ask Director McKnight, would you want to make any comments about this resolution?
Chairperson Tyson, I think you summed it up pretty well. I guess I'd say that the focus, though, of this bond package is for the most part on renovation and taking care of existing facilities, more so than a lot of expansion. So we'll be looking hard at our rec centers, our pools, our parks, playgrounds, and looking real hard at renovation as part of the bond package.
Thank you. And I'm going to, the first resolution was 135X, and it was certainly for safety and health. And I see Deputy Director Dan DiGardello is here, and I'd ask him if he would make any comments about the resolution for safety and health.
Chairman Tyson, members of council, Of the roughly $53 million in this package for public safety, a significant amount, about two-thirds, goes to fire apparatus. We spend approximately $6 million a year, which is obviously a major capital investment. It's a great investment for the fire division. It keeps them in very good frontline vehicles. It also helps us to keep our maintenance costs in check with the fleet management division. So we have, it's a very important investment for our first responders. Other parts of our capital plan deal with facility improvements at our fire stations and police substations. These are repairs like roofs, kitchens, some flooring, windows, just those items that over time wear and need replaced at our facilities. We also have funding in here for one fire station as well. We are in the process right now of designing and have taken bids on a station at Greenlawn Avenue. We would like to come back downtown at the East 150 East Fulton Station, which is right now called Station 2, and look at designing and obviously coming back there with a more efficient and smaller station on that site. So that is the bulk of our money over the next several years, and we certainly appreciate the work of finance and the help of the council and the voters of Columbus in getting this passed for us. Thank you.
Thank you. The next resolution is 01137XX2013, which will ask voters to consider authorizing the city to issue $220,300,000 in bonds for streets and highways and refuse collection. And these funds will be used to resurface our streets, sidewalks, roadways, bikeways, equipment, and other neighborhood improvements. Also, street equipment, containers, which is about $28 million, almost $29 million for containers and equipment. So that was the for 137X. Resolution number 138X is 2013, will ask voters to consider authorizing the city to issue $445,295,000 in bonds for water, storm, and electricity. These funds will be used to support infrastructure improvements to our city's water and stormwater and other system improvements, including electricity and street lighting. Some of the projects include improvements in Clintonville, the Far East Side, the East Side, the Far East Side, as well as street lighting projects throughout the city. And Joe Lombardi is here representing the Utilities Department, and you might make some comments now.
Thank you, Chairperson Tyson, members of council. About two-thirds of our bond package will go to the Division of Water, and that will be for waterline improvements on aging infrastructure, including upgrading all three of our water plants due to current and future EPA regulations. As you indicated, there is also funding for streetlight projects, which have not been looked at for several years, and thanks to council and the administration for the support and money this year for the Division of Power to begin looking at that aging infrastructure and getting the streetlights in the neighborhoods. Some of the upgrades we'll make to the power infrastructure will be updating our circuits so that we can add customers as well.
Thank you, Joe. And one more speaker from the administration, besides Paul Rakowski, the Director of Finance, will be Mike Sexton, would like to make some comments on public service.
Thank you, Councilmember Tyson, members of council. It's basically $220 million, about $190 million that is for streets and highways. The biggest bulk of that is $83 million for resurfacing and alley improvements. Pedestrian and safety and sidewalk improvements, along with bikeway development, bridge rehabilitation, UIRF projects, street equipment, roadways. We also have another $30 million for refuse collection equipment and containers and facility improvements.
Thank you so much. So, those four ordinances will, those four resolutions collectively, that means we will invest up to $842 million in our neighborhoods over the next 5 years. Now, the importance of this voted bond package is that the city of Columbus has emerged in recent years as one of the best cities in the nation to work and to live. A major reason for this is that Columbus continued to invest in its infrastructure and quality of life at a time when many other cities were sharply reducing these investments. Columbus was able to do this in part because of the five-year bond package approved by the voters in 2008. And I know that Auditor Hugh Dorian is going to spend some time sharing a lot about that particular bond package and the ones preceding that. But since that time, we've been able to enhance our infrastructure. We've been able to equip our safety forces with our safety forces. We've been able to invest in our recreation facilities by equipping them with air conditioning so that they can serve our seniors and other residents. We've built spray grounds, renovated pools and bikeways. We've improved our sidewalks and neighborhood walkability. We've added street lights and improved our water sewer systems, and we provided support to our healthcare infrastructure. We've done all of this while keeping our commitment to fighting for every job and creating an environment and a climate that businesses can be attracted to and one in which they can thrive. And we did this without raising taxes. Now Columbus has the opportunity to continue this momentum and keep our city moving forward along this very successful path without raising taxes by approving a new bond package this November. By placing the issues on the ballot, the city is asking for voter approval to issue bonds. This is done because the city receives a lower interest rate on the bonds with voter approval. Investors purchasing city bonds have more confidence that they will be repaid if voters have approved the debt issuance and generally demand a lower interest rate. Cheaper debt allows the city to maximize its resources, resulting in more capital improvements. As a result, tax dollars are saved and we can invest more in our neighborhoods. The entire package will allow our economy to continue to thrive while strengthening neighborhoods throughout our city. Columbus again remains the only city in the United States of its size with a AAA credit rating by the three major rating agencies. And one reason for this is that the city sets aside a quarter of every dollar of income tax for infrastructure improvements. This bond package will continue this practice of fiscal responsibility by saving the taxpayers millions of dollars. This voter bond package is a reflection of the commitment that our residents have toward the city they love. This process is a result of months of public dialogue, which included phone calls to the city's 311 system, emails, telephone calls to the administration and council offices, meetings, public hearings, and internal infrastructure assessments by city staff. However, we also have gotten more dialogue than the ones I've already mentioned, that we've had meetings in our neighborhoods to get more information from our residents outlining the needs of our community and showing their support and priority of the bond package. We held meetings at the Marion Franklin Recreation Center, Whetstone Recreation Center, Barnett Recreation Center, and the Westgate Shelter House. And tonight is a continuation of the public dialogue that we've started. This evening, we will have a presentation from our city auditor, Mr. Hugh Dorian, who will provide a historical context of how the city has used its bonds and how we have an overview of the 2013 voted bond package from the Director of Finance and Management, Paul Rakowski. We will also hear from a number of community representatives who will discuss some of the projects, what some of the projects will mean to their community that's included in this package. And so with that, I am going to turn the hearing over to our esteemed auditor, Auditor Hugh Dorian. Good evening, Mr. Dorian.
Thank you, Chairwoman Tyson and Mr. Craig, everyone in the audience. Thanks for allowing me to offer these few remarks. This is a large amount of money, and you've often heard me say, governments, in my view, really do have two faces at times. I've always said we have a face of operations, and we have a face of capital, and we cannot afford to neglect either one. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the capital face of the city of Columbus. And as many of you know, about every 3 to 5 years since 1956, the city comes before its voters and asks your permission to borrow money. It should be known, and I'm sure it is known, that when the public grants that permission, they are also granting the city permission to raise their property tax. Well, on the other hand, the city says to the voters, if you give us that permission to borrow money for these various purposes, we promise to you that we will not raise the property tax rate. And that promise has been kept since 1956. I think it would be well to note that when we're talking, one could legitimately ask, well, how in the world do you pay this money back? You borrow money and you say to us you're not going to raise your taxes. When you pay your water and sewer bill, you are paying for all this water, all this sewer, and those of you who have city electricity, for the most part, that's a much smaller enterprise, but you are paying for that debt at that time. So we do not increase your property tax rate. When you vote for parks and playgrounds and fire equipment, fire stations, police stations, things of this nature, and streets and the repaving and so forth, which is a bigger and bigger number each year, you're paying for that when you pay your city income tax. Once again, no property tax rate is imposed. I'd like to recite just a little bit of history to indicate, well, how did this process come about? You know, I've often said this is a tried and proven process, and I am very, very confident in coming before you and saying that these bonds can be issued, these improvements can be accomplished, and a property tax rate will not, rate increase will not be imposed. Let me turn the clock back a few years, and I view two of the most important public policy decisions that I think were ever made in the city of Columbus. One was made in 1954, and at that time, the Mayor Sensenbrenner and the council at that time essentially said to the surrounding territory, and these are my words, you won't find these exact words in documents, I don't believe, but the documents essentially said to the surrounding areas, if you would like to use our water and sewer facilities, you should consider annexing to our city. When it comes to water and sewer facilities in particular, they are very, very capital intensive. They're very expensive to build and to maintain. So most of the surrounding territories said, yes, we want to use those facilities, so we will annex. Well, in 1954, Columbus was 43 square miles. Well, once that agreement was struck with the suburbs and so forth, annexation just blossomed. As a matter of fact, it just burst. And the city grew rapidly in square mileage. As again, I say, 43 square miles in 1954. Today, we're about 228 square miles, maybe 229, close to it. Almost a sixfold increase. Well, in 1954, when that annexation began to burst, it brought with it a great need for infrastructure, additional infrastructure. How would one pay for it to keep up with that vast expansion of territory? The second public policy decision that I view as one of the very, very most important in this city's history, in 1956, just 2 years after that annexation began, the council at the time made a decision to increase the city's income tax rate. The council increased that rate from 0.5% to 1%. Councils, cities, villages, and so forth could at that time impose an income tax rate up to 1% without going to a vote of the people. Now, today, it's quite different. Anytime a city or a village would issue or ask to impose a tax rate greater than 1%, they can only do it with a vote of the people. But at that time, in 1956, the council said, we'll raise the tax to 1%, but we're going to take 1/4 of it. This is how this terminology began, and we're going to set it aside. We're going to set that 1/4, that 25%, aside in a separate, what we call fund, or a separate account. And we will only use that account with very, very few exceptions to pay back the debt that you are giving us your permission to borrow to buy land for parklands, to build recreation centers, police stations, fire stations, and so forth, to buy this heavy fire equipment and these large garbage trucks. If you were to look at a garbage truck going down the street today with our new compressed natural gas trucks, you're looking at well over $300,000 in that truck. If you were looking at a 100-foot-long ladder truck, With the fire department, you're looking at close to $3 million for that particular truck. So needless to say, the capital side of a city is very, very expensive. So again, I point to those 1954 decision and the 1956 decision. And that 1956 decision to seek your permission to borrow money and at the same time promise not to increase that property tax rate, that promise has been kept ever since that time. Never has a property tax rate been increased to repay any of this debt. Well, as Councilwoman Tyson indicated, we'll be putting four packages before the voters in November. One of those packages we call Safety and Health, $52.5 million. And looking back in history since 1956, in this broad category of safety and health, we have asked the voters, the city has asked the voters 16 times to approve bond packages or to allow us to borrow money for that broad purpose. The voters have said yes all 16 times. And again, never once has that tax rate been increased. This little handout that I've provided to you gives you a little indication in numbers as to the amounts of those various issues, the numbers of times they've been on the ballot since 1956, and the response or the approval rate of the voters, and you can see they've been very handsomely approved. If I turn the next page and indicate to you recreation and parks, we'll be asking $123,910,000. And I should add that this package we're seeking is planned to cover us for 5 years. That's your capital improvement plan. Essentially, it's 6 years. It's the current year plus five. But what you're looking at here is the next 5 years. So we'll be asking for, again, $123,910,000. Since the beginning of this process, we've asked the voters 12 times to approve recreation and parks bond issues. And you can see they have approved each time by nearly two-thirds of their votes. Public service. Very, very broad category. We'll be seeking permission to borrow $220.3 million. Over the last, since 1956, we have sought permission to borrow $1,136,708,000, or 18 times we've asked voters permission, and they have granted that permission each time. When you think of public service, number of things involved, such as those garbage trucks, but the biggest piece of the pie, more so year after year, goes towards streets. When you think of all the repaving that goes on and is necessary, and as I said, those 228 square miles, that's the biggest piece of the capital pie when you get outside of water and sewer issues. Well, the next major piece, and I should say all the major piece every time we go to the ballot, public utilities, water and sewer. We are not, it would be absolute recklessness to allow water and sewer facilities to decline in any community. I'm sure many of us have been to communities overseas in particular where one would not necessarily choose to drink water and so forth. But in this period of time, the city has asked its voters 30 times to approve bond packages for utilities totaling $2,463,663,000. Now, one might say, well, what would happen if the voters defeated these utilities? As I said, we will not allow our sanitary sewer facilities, our storm sewer facilities, our water facilities, we will not allow those things to decline. And I'm sorry to say the alternative is that it'll simply cost us a whole lot more money without your approval. So again, I seek your approval for those things. There were miscellaneous items over those years. You've heard Ms. Tyson say, and I'm sure you've heard me say over the years, we've had 88 such requests, 82 have been approved. well, here's six, what you might say, miscellaneous categories that the voters approved. The zoo, on one occasion, voters approved, believe it or not, urban renewal, that was back in 1956, that was approved. Convention center, now you've heard a lot about votes on arenas and convention centers and so forth, and I've cited before, here's an example of a convention center being on the ballot where no new tax was involved and the voters approved it handily, 60% in favor. That was in 1971, by the way. At one time, I'm sure you're aware that the city of Columbus owned and operated its airports, Port Columbus, Bolton Field in particular. Over the years, that ownership has been transferred first through the Columbus Municipal Airport Authority, and then later to the Columbus Regional Airport Authority. But when the city owned the airports in 1956 and 1979, the voters were asked to approve bond issues, and they did. Well, here's an item that I always have to bite my tongue a little bit when I mention the power plant. In 1977, the voters did approve that bond package. If I think for the purposes of full disclosure, I want you also to be aware that there were six bond issues that the voters declined to approve. Interestingly enough, it might surprise us today, but one of them was the zoo back in 1956. For today, I would say only $500,000. An urban renewal issue in 1964 was defeated. On two occasions, city buildings, bonds for various city buildings, the voters declined to approve. If you'll see one issue of city buildings of $2.2 million, that was in 1981 before the voters, and that was the last time that the voters denied approval of a bond issue. You'll see also the power plant was on a losing side in 1976 and then a winning side in 1977. See the last item called arena, that was back in 1978. The reason you see only one is because that was put on the ballot by the city. There were several others that were put on for countywide votes, but this in particular was for the city. And that, by the way, would have called for a property tax increase, but obviously it didn't happen because the voters denied it. This last page, or last table, gives you a little recap of these things. So again, safety and health, 16 times the voters have said yes. Recreation and parks, 12 times the voters have said yes. Public service, 18 times. Public utilities, 30 times. These miscellaneous items, 6 times. So the voters have approved 82 requests by the city and a grand total of $4,408,623,000. And never once during that period of time up to today has a property tax rate increased ever been imposed because of these bond issues. And I also, again, for purposes of full disclosure, show to you that about $146.2 million was declined. So when you look at those numbers or those dollars, about almost, well, let me say 96.8% of the dollars put before the voters were approved. So once again, I want to say to you that it's been my experience and I feel very confident in coming before you and simply saying, please vote for these bond issues. It will allow the city to continue to move forward in its infrastructure. And I can very, very confidently say to you, it's part of my job. And I do believe that there will be no property tax rate increase imposed because of these issues.
We are out of time for this edition of Call the Roll. If you have a question or a comment, please email us at calltheroll@columbus.gov. That's CALLTHEROLL @columbus.gov. Don't forget you can follow the Columbus City Council on our Facebook and our Twitter pages. On behalf of the entire Columbus City Council, I'm your host, John Ivanek. Thanks for listening to Freedom FM, and have a great weekend.